This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Earlier this month, President Obama announced that his administration would stop deporting young undocumented immigrants. The decision drew strong reactions from all sides and has important social and political implications. America's struggle with immigration highlights the nature of borders, which are at once real and artificial. The border between the U.S. and Mexico is the focus of a new exhibit at the Weatherspoon Art Museum at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. And joining us now is Weatherspoon Curator of Exhibitions, Zandra Eden. Welcome, Zandra. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Also with us, Pedro Lash. His work is part of the exhibit. He's an assistant research professor in art theory and practice at Duke University. Pedro, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for inviting us.
You're quite welcome. Zandra, the exhibit's part of a project called Zone of Contention. Tell us about it. How did it get started?
Okay. Well, this was a project that started out when I joined a group of faculty at UNCG called MERGE, and this is a interdisciplinary group, so there are faculty from across the university from different fields. And the topic that was decided on for 2010 was borders and mapping and new ideas about these concerns from different viewpoints. And so I decided to investigate artists who were creating work at borders where there was a lot of conflict, and they were deriving the content of their work and the actual materials of their work from their experience on these borders. And there's a lot of really very interesting, fascinating artwork that's been made about conflicts everywhere from Israel-Palestine to Ceuta and Morocco. So I got really excited about the project, but the one that the one border that was really very strong for me that I felt needed to be addressed right away and right now was the U.S.-Mexico border, which is what this exhibition is about. There will be future incarnations of Zone of Contention. Next year, I'm planning to investigate Israel-Palestine, and then there'll be another project after that, which is yet to be decided upon what would be the most relevant. But the idea is to look at these areas that seem very far away to us and examine how artists are examining those issues and then hone in on, well, how do they affect our daily lives here in North Carolina and in Greensboro? Who are the people in our community that are really working on these issues and very aware of them and, you know, opening up the conversation about them locally?
So tell us about some of the pieces. What kind of art will we see at the exhibit?
There are sculptures, there's photography, there's video, there's a large scale painted mural of the entire Americas, which Pedro Lash will tell you about. That's his project. There's all kinds of different artwork, and there's two galleries. One gallery focuses on physical representations of the border or the landmass that makes up the Americas. What does the border look like? Who's there? And then the second gallery deals more with the social issues or economic issues that drive people towards the United States and to North Carolina, but also what happens when they are here. You know, what are the repercussions of particularly being an undocumented immigrant.
Pedro, tell us about your exhibit or about your work in the exhibit. Mm-hmm.
Well, this project in particular is called Latino America, and conceptually, a lot of my work has a core concept that gets repeated over an entire body of work over many years. I think that partly comes because I also work in the academy, you know, so this long-term type of process seems really enjoyable and productive. So with the concept of Latin America is quite simple. It's basically you take the entire continent, like Sandra described, and the words Latino have migrated, Latino slash A to have both genders, that word has migrated north.
So it's a map of North
America.
It's a map,
yeah. It's just a plain. There are no lines, ironically. Yeah. There's no borders on that map, right? It's all one landmass. But this word Latino has migrated north. So a lot of people, when they look at the image too quickly, they don't even notice that there's something odd about the map, right? But when you pay attention, you see Latino is now in the U.S. And so one of the questions the map asks is what happens when the U.S. becomes a Latino country, right? A bilingual country, for example, Spanish, English, but also culturally a Latino country. Not exclusively Latino, but also Latino. what happens to the rest of the continent, and by what happens by definition to the rest of the world, right? I think this has global implications. What happens when a U.S. ambassador goes to France and speaks better Spanish than English? In terms of the Romance languages, it would probably make sense to do that.
But, and of course, this is some of the greatest anxiety among those who think we should have tighter restrictions along the border, that something is being lost, this change is fundamentally something that we should worry about. And you're calling attention to this. This is something that we should consider, all of the impact.
Definitely. And I think a lot of the title of the exhibit deals with the idea of the zone of contention, right? If you actually pay attention to the works in the exhibit, there's a huge range from contention, stress, controversy, to actually a lot of melancholy, strong positive emotions, right? A lot of support, human support and solidarity. And so while we often stress this idea of tension with the border, in many ways, for me, this map is also about overcoming borders in a positive way. And it's, I'm not just speaking here of Latino and Hispanic populations, but actually people. When I went to get my driver's license in North Carolina, I was actually struck by how happy people were there to speak to me in Spanish. They were thrilled that they spoke a second language. Mm-hmm. It wasn't – there was none of this. And you see the same in the school system, but we rarely hear stories about this side, right?
And go ahead.
And I would say the whole controversy of the border, it's less to do with cultural exchange. I mean, our two countries have a long history of cultural exchange, and it's very rich, hundreds of years, you know. So it's – there is a fear of population increases, but those have more to do with – fairly unfounded notions of immigrants taking jobs from Americans. So that's an economic thing, that less of a social thing. But I find that the reasons that the border has become such a hotspot, you know, has more to do with politicians using it as a tool than it does to the actual effects upon people and communities. And I feel like the drug trade, particularly, is the reason those borders exist. I mean, it's to stop the drug trade. And where does the drug trade come from? Well, the biggest cartel, it's a Colombian cartel that uses Mexico as a network to export drugs into the U.S. And then what comes out of the U.S. is money to continue that process, and also guns and weapons. Most of the weapons that are being used that are creating this situation are coming from U.S. So we're really, you know, we have a lot to do with the problems that are happening in Mexico and all of the violence that is happening there. And that's part of the reason I think this show is important, is just to kind of really become for all of us to take responsibility for what's happening and to realize that building a big giant metal fence, to date there's over 600 miles of fence that have been built by the American government at a cost of $3 billion. And even high-level politicians on the, you know, Republican right side have said it's a completely inefficient, unrealistic way to deal with the issues.
Well, it's an interesting paradox that borders, I think, call our attention to. The harder you have to fight, the more you have to do to build walls and fences 650 miles and beyond. The more it draws attention to the energy, the will to cross that border. There's something going on, a will to use drugs in the United States that's growing, a will for people who have been affected by various policies, many of them American, to get better economic circumstances. So you draw attention to the very needs that you are not addressing by simply building this wall. It's kind of a fascinating thing that borders do for us if we pay attention.
Right, and it's across the globe. I mean, there's this waning sovereignty, you know, by all these countries due to globalism. And what is the effect? It's these countries building these actual barriers. Yeah. You know, we were so excited when the Berlin Wall fell, you know, in the 80s. And now across the globe, there's these new walls being built. So it's just a symptom of, you know, globalization and an insecurity about whether the country is maintaining, you know, their sovereignty and the values that they, you know, traditionally have held dear.
I think I actually have a proposal for your third exhibition.
Okay.
That you're still thinking about. It would be the North-South Korean border. Because it's still the most – in terms of what you're saying, it's the most militarized border on the planet. And we've been talking through, we spoke endlessly about Berlin and the end of the Cold War, but that border was placed there through the Cold War, right? And I think to me, it's such a clear example of, like, in the last 20 years or 30 years of what we call neoliberalism and then neoconservatism, you have this stress of the free flow of goods and capital, but without the free flow of people. And those of us who have been doing work on the border want to point out this contradiction. It is a philosophical contradiction. It's also a political contradiction. And so it's one that still has to be resolved.
It undermines the argument of free markets when one of the most important elements, labor, doesn't have that freedom. But you also point out, Zandra, our perhaps misunderstanding about what borders are. We think of them always as places of tension, but in fact, border communities weren't always places of contention before this became such an important political issue nationally.
Sure, and there are still a lot of border towns and communities that are, you know, hold some resentment to the fact that these giant walls are being imposed upon their community by the government. So, it's a very complex situation, and it takes going down there and talking to people and interviewing them and having these experience, which is what all these artists have done. I grew up in Houston. I've traveled to Mexico, but I don't really have that kind of firsthand experience of what it takes. But that was part of this project as well, is to talk to as many people as possible that I could find who would be able to give me some sense of what their perception was of being on the border. And in fact, there was a student at UNCG who had grown up on a border town and told me about his experience of traveling across the border to go shopping and how he and his family actually felt like they were doing something wrong by going shopping, even though they had, you know, traveled there legally just to pick up some goods and things. So
people in those communities on both sides of the border were very free and easy about letting people go back and forth generally in a lot of those communities. Pedro, what do you think about the use of artistic expression? This stuff is in the news all the time as a kind of news piece in essay form. Does artistic expression of this change the way we look at the problem? Does it change anybody's understanding of what's going on or how we should understand the problem?
Yeah, I mean, I surely hope so. I think in many ways, migrations, a lot of the work that I do is about not just borders, but migrations and individual migrations as well as collective and mass migrations. And if you think of the cultural transformations in humanity, the largest ones have almost all of them been accomplished by migrations. The language we speak, it's not one massive government imposing something on us. It's actually hundreds of thousands of people who moved from one place to another for whatever reason, and then they affect that other culture, and together a new culture comes out, right? And so I really believe in the cultural power of immigrants and also receiving people who receive immigrants. That's without being said. But as an artist, I mean, my take on artists is not – art to me is not something that, you know, gets put in museums exclusively or decorates rich people's homes. To me, art is basically perception. And so artists, at least the artists who I tend to respect, deal with perception, the five senses, how we assimilate information. So you care about brain studies like the previous, like where artists who do that are fascinated by these phenomena. And the border clearly affects our perception. It doesn't just affect our economic and political perception. It affects our emotional perception and so on. I'll give you an example. This piece that is in the show, I always insist that it's presented in two languages, that the wall text that goes along with it is in Spanish and English. If we add a third, that's great, but at least those two. And the reason I do that is because it stresses that there are many people who are multilingual in this world. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that they're schizophrenics, that they have a border that is impermeable between, you know, right? But they do. There is a division between Spanish and English, right? Like there's things that separate it. But that is one of the examples of a border that is not a zone of contention, right?
You're also asking people to you're handing out maps and in a sense following the migration or the journey of those maps. Tell us about that.
Yeah,
project.
It's actually through the materiality of the paper, right? On the one hand, there's this very conceptual dimension to the work. You see this mural painted, you know, just the word migrating. But there's also these physical maps that are folded, you know, that people basically migrate with. And the idea is that each individual who has participated in this project, and I intentionally work with people across social, like class backgrounds, as well as national origin, you know, and so on. But the one thing that they all share is that I know they're going to cross the U.S.-Mexico border, and I meet them on the other side at one point, right? I've worked with people who arrive in New York, people who arrived in North Carolina, and people who arrived in L.A. and California. And what they do is they get one map that is – it's a gift. It's to thank them for participating. And the second map, they mail back to me. That's the concept, right, whenever they get to their final destination. So what you see right now at the Weatherspoon are five different maps. Two of them arrived in North Carolina, two of them in New York, and one of them in California, each from a very different experience. If someone had to walk through sewage, their map looks very different than someone who flies into the U.S., which I do normally, mm-hmm. right? If you fly, your map just gets unfolded, and it yeah. almost as if nothing happened, right? But this, you know, so these maps are soiled maps in some instances. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're just something random happened to them. You know, they become in this sense placeholders for the people who travel. To me, they're portraits, but they're portraits who refuse a lot of the. Not cliche, but the standard way to deal with immigration in art, or at least in documentary practice, is to simply take photographs of these individuals and then create a story with them. And I intentionally, with this project, wanted to go against that trend and make something that
is... Well, see how the material itself changed, yeah. which would, I would think, cause a change. The individual then reacts to the change in their material, what you brought with you, whether it got torn, whether you had to repair it, whether you repaired it using a craft that you learned in mm-hmm. your country and then taught the craft to someone else. All of that becomes the transfer of culture.
Well, and especially people who have migrated know that these papers, like they travel with very few things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Money is one of them, but cash, right? And so that's one kind of paper. And then there's the documents, right? Your birth certificate, you know.
Yeah, and I just want to mention Pedro's work ties into this, you know, many of the other artists' work in the exhibition, but it's this idea of, you know, the desperation of trying to find a home, a better life, like somewhere to go, but also the hope that is there, you know, just... How much hope that there will be something that, you know, that you can go to. So Pedro's work speaks to that. Also, Susan Harbage Page's work, who's another North Carolina artist, and also Todd Drake, who's based in Greensboro, North Carolina, who miraculously on the day, the opening day of our exhibition, you know, Obama announced that wonderful news that, you know, we were going to stop deporting these young teenagers and kids in their 20s who had grown up here and, you know, that wouldn't be allowed anymore and that they could find a pathway towards citizenship and getting an education. That's what they want. I mean, they just need to have that. And Todd had done this piece about two students from El Cambio, Moises and Giovanna, that is amazing video where they tell their stories of their experience as kids growing up and then realizing what they faced, you know, after they finished high school. They were both there, you know, at the opening exhibition. I was so thrilled, and they were ecstatic. I mean, they were like, you know, it really took a lot for these kids to come out on their undocumented status. It's so risky for them to have done that. And there's been across the country, you know, very even well-known people who have come out with their undocumented status. And that really helped make the change. You know, you have to take a risk and there has to be a dialogue about it. Yeah.
I want to thank you both for being on the program and remind everybody that the exhibit is up at the Weatherspoon. It is up now through
September 2nd.
September 2nd.
Yes.
Zandra Eden is the Weatherspoon Art Museum's curator of exhibitions. Pedro Lash, an assistant research professor in art theory and practice at Duke University, also part of the exhibit. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Zones of Contention, the U.S.-Mexico border, is at the Weatherspoon Art Museum on the campus of the University of North Carolina, Greensboro, now through September 2nd. For more information, weatherspoon.uncg.edu. Just ahead, how a neuropsychologist abandoned the medical world for a life of wine. Stay with us on the State of Things.